I was first introduced to this practice of insight in a meditation monastery outside of Bangkok, a 10-week stay there. And at some point there was a monk there who was reported to have had some quite amazing, deep meditation. And or high, whatever your metaphor. And I got to meet him and look into his eyes, and I'd never seen anybody's eyes were that deep. Like you could look in his eyes and like just, but it seemed like it just went on forever in there. And so I asked him, in all these years of practice and meditation that you've done, I don't remember exactly what I asked, but you know, maybe it was something like, what have you attained, or what have you gotten from it? And his answer surprised me. He said, non-contention. You know, I was expecting something more Buddhistic, whatever that might be. But non-contention. It was quite inspiring to hear that. That's one of the conclusions of practicing in such a deep, thorough way that he had done. To not be in contention with anything, not be in conflict with anything. To not be struggling with anything. To have no strife. So I thought of this with today's theme. We're on the triad of the three things to cultivate in the practice. Or to say it maybe nicer, the three things that are growing as we practice. And that we want to support the growth of these. And the one today is well-being. Well-being is not a, as far as I know, there's no good Pali word for it, so it's not meant, that meaning it's not meant to be a technically precise word. It's meant to be a kind of a broad spectrum word that maybe you can find yourself in. If it's too narrow and you don't fit into it, then maybe we can take a next step out to make it even wider. And maybe it's quite okay. It's quite okayness. But well-being, and it takes many forms, it's many possible ways and different shapes and characters of it. Gladness and joy and happiness and bliss and rapture. Contentment is one of my favorite ones. There's something very profound about that's possible with contentment. It's not a resignation to be content. It's cozy. The possibility of deep coziness to be just content. The danger in talking about well-being in any kind of way is that some of you will think that you're supposed to, and now you have a huff and puff to get happy. Or you might measure yourself against this idea, well, I'm so far from that. And it feels like salt in the wound or something. So I apologize a little bit to talk about a topic that can trigger things for people, but hopefully you can be careful. And part of the reason to talk about it is that it does have a place in this practice. It's a tremendous support for the practice. And as the practice goes on, this practice you're doing here is kind of designed to bring to you the most difficult thing you'll ever do in your life. And it helps to be up against that if you have some well-being that supports you, just as it helps if you have some stability, steadiness that can hold a lot, to increase your capacity to hold discomfort. And so same thing with being familiar with well-being and being influenced and affected, conditioned a little bit by some sense of well-being. It's a great support when it seems like the only thing that really needs to be done is to let go completely of everything. And that can be frightening. That can be, you know, just that seems like, or the only thing to do is to really face oneself, meet oneself in some deep way that you've never met yourself before, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So the sense of well-being that can help with this capacity to be present for the challenges this practice brings. So it's not just well-being to become Pollyannish or just kind of think you're supposed to then kind of float in a cloud and be done, but a kind of maturation, a certain maturation, growth, that we have access to certain kinds of well-being that can support us. And why I started with a story about non-contention is that there might be forms of well-being that come from just simply being here at the retreat, where you don't have to contend with that much compared to what you are doing maybe in your world at home or at work or somewhere. You're so lucky you don't have to contend with the news. You seldom miss anything when you don't read the news, because it's generally old. It's just a different like name next to it or something, or date on it or something, but the same thing. And the news is often news of contention. And so you don't, to be free for a while, not contend with that, that's nice. Some of the daily tasks you have, the things you do out there, maybe are stressful and challenging. And it's nice to come and just be, live a simple, basic life. And all of us are being cared for by each other. A lot of things are being taken care of by others. And so it can be a relief to be in this kind of environment for some people. Even if it's quite challenging, the practice and me and being with ourselves in practice, it's good to remember that there's also a lot of good here. To be reminded, there's a lot of the stresses of daily life and not here. And it feels good to have shed a layer or two of tension in my body, just being here. This is good. And maybe this is good. This may be a form of well-being. the next best thing. I myself am usually pretty happy to be on retreat in a community of people who are interested in doing the same thing. It kind of makes me happy to have this kind of companionship. And then when I'm on retreat, then it's even better because I don't have to talk to them. I like talking to people, but it's also nice to, you know, be quiet. And so to begin to recognize well-being when it's available, we don't want to manufacture it or pretend, but to be attuned to this as a role and a place. When I was a, a Zen student, there was never, ever any recognition that you would feel happy practicing. That, you know, like, that was like you're supposed to maybe feel some joy, or, you know. That, if anything, that was like, we're just the direct line to the truth. Nothing in the way. And sometimes they would go, in Japan they would, yeah, somehow it feels like, you know, like serious, but there wasn't quite enough room for a lot of joy. I met plenty of Zen monks in Japan who were joyful, but there was this, you know, I didn't get the message that that had a place. And so it was, when I started learning this insight tradition, and at first I was pretty suspicious. Like, what's going on here? You know, this is not really real, is it? Joy and happiness. Give me emptiness. But lo and behold, the joy and the happiness found me. And it took a while for me to appreciate that it was okay to feel this way, and it was okay to avail myself of it when it was available. It was almost like it was okay to open and include this as well. This can be included. There's space for that. And not only is there space for it, it's healthy, it's useful, it's beneficial. It supports the path. It supports the opening. It supports us when things are difficult. It supports us when things are good. Not difficult. It's supportive to have it. So in these three things we've been talking about, knowing, sensing, and letting go, or relaxing, each of these has their own possibility for well-being, for delight and joy. So it might be nice to go through them a little bit. So knowing, to learn the simplicity and directly and directness of knowing that's not agitated with desires, expectation, needs, with conceit and needing to prove ourselves, or to just kind of this openness of just knowing. As I said yesterday, just like you know something, not to limit it and to close down and end possibilities, but to know something with in a way that I know this, but you don't really know anything. None of us do. So what is it really? So I might know in-breath, but it's like what I find helpful is not to feel like I know it and I'm done with it. It's more like if I say that I have the recognition I'm breathing in, the attitude with which I'm doing it is, what is this? Breathing in. It's a shorthand for what is this breathing in? So there's kind of opening to time, opening to presence, opening to attention, opening to space. What is this? So I can feel it and register it more, so I sense it. And if the in-breath comes to an end, it's so wonderful. Because I just opened, and then it disappeared, the in-breath. And then it's just like, it just keeps going out, just keeps opening up. Like, what did I open to when it ended? So the ending, you know, the knowing ends. And what when a moment of knowing ends and you're on this opening direction with attention, what in that silence and that stillness, what does it open to? So this knowing, it can be such a relief. For some people, describe it as a tremendous relief that they're allowed to know in the simplicity of the moment, without judgment, without criticism, without needing to do anything, prove ourselves, accomplish anything, just to know. And there's a sense of well-being or joy or delight that people can feel. Just to know. Wow, it's such a... the burden is taken off. And also to learn that... you know, when the knowing can be peaceful, then there's a freedom in the knowing. The freedom of not being entangled, not being reactive, not creating stories around it. Just simple knowing, whatever it might be. A feeling, an emotion, a thought, a little back pain, the car going by, someone snoring, whatever it might be. And one of the great, for me, joys that came from doing this insight practice, mindfulness practice, was I had some idea, I kind of began to understand that there was this simplicity, not only understand, but actually be able to do it, that in the simplicity of mindfulness, of just being mindful of something, there was a freedom there. And then I realized that in theory, I could now be free for any experience that I was mindful of. And I could be, in theory, be mindful of any experience I ever have. The fact that it meant that, wow, I can be free everywhere. I didn't think I could just do it just because of that, but I was just so filled with joy. Wow. That's fantastic, that this practice has this potential and this power, and that just the simplicity of it gives a certain kind of freedom that's portable and capable and can be applied anywhere and everywhere. So there was the joy of doing this knowing practice. Wow. There's also a joy in when we get into the... when the knowing of experience, the mindfulness of experience, begins snowballing, meaning the snowball gets bigger and bigger as it rolls down the hill. It begins having a momentum of its own, and we're kind of being carried along by it, or And I think our, I suspect that our, at least some of us, our psychophysical system, there's a kind of a joy that arises from being fully engaged in a nice way with an activity when there's no resistance and we're absorbed in just doing this and just flowing along or engaged. And there's a, the joy of engagement, joy of participation, then joy of a sense of maybe purpose, this is valuable. So the joys of knowing. There's also the well-being that comes from feeling, sensing. And many, it can be many of the things I've already talked about apply to sensing as well. But the one that's a little different with sensing is that we can feel pleasure. Oh, no pleasure. Just the truth, just emptiness. You can go to your Zen teacher. I felt some pleasure when I was meditating. Another thing to let go of. Which is true. If you're really good at letting go, the pleasure grows. But the pleasure of it. And it turns out, lo and behold, you're allowed to have pleasure in this practice. For some people, that's a radical idea. They've never heard such a thing. In fact, I mean, literally, some people think that pleasure is a sin, and you're not supposed to feel it at all. And I have had the great pleasure of sitting up straight and telling some people, you are allowed to have pleasure when you meditate. So there can be pleasure. And you don't have to, but don't chase it. There can be a lot of attachment to pleasure. Wanting it, holding on to it when you have it, trying to make it come back. So all these things have danger, but, you know, it's okay to live a little dangerous life, if that's the extent of it. And so it can be very helpful to start feeling some pleasure. In fact, as we get settled in practice more and more, there tends to happen, there tends to come some pleasure. There might be pleasure in the breathing. And if you have access to some pleasure in the cycle of breathing in and breathing out, it can be just be a brief part of the cycle. The mind is usually more interested in being present for something if it's pleasant than unpleasant. So you can use that pleasure to encourage the mind to stay here, be here. And there's a kind of a biofeedback system sometimes, like with the pleasure that comes with breathing, that if you allow yourself to feel it and get pulled into the breathing through it, that the pleasure grows. And I think it was Ajahn Brahm talks about that pleasure growing, becoming beautiful, beautiful breathing. So this idea of, you know, that this something beautiful, sweet, nice happens. It's not automatic, it's not easy, but it happens a lot easier when the tensions and the holding and around breathing have dissolved. And it's almost as if breathing is breathing itself. And it can't be wishful thinking. It comes from really being, the more absorbed we are, the more we give ourselves over to the breathing, the more likely this will begin happening. And part of it, that as it gets, this kind of can become stronger, is because as we give ourselves over to the breathing, really over to the practice and more, we're less inclined to be distracted. We're less inclined to be fragmented with the mind going in all kinds of directions. And if the mind is not fragmented, bouncing around and thinking about this and that, some of those things are not necessarily going to be pleasant. In fact, the more distracted the mind is jumping around, the more likely it's involved in something which is unpleasant. But as the mind, as this falls away, the non-contention, we're no longer contending with things in the world, and it just absorbs just this. Something begins, as it comes into harmony, something comes aligned and gathers together, unified. And that coming into harmony, unified, aligned, just feels really good. It just feels like everything is healthy and operating in a healthy way. And it can give rise to a lot of well-being and joy and happiness. And then there's the well-being that comes from relaxing, the quieting, tranquilling that we can do in the practice. And one of the aspects of this is that if you're holding tight to something, like you're tense, the release, any release of tension, any feels kind of nice, usually. And maybe there's a light feeling of lightness that comes, or a little bit spaciousness that comes in that particular area, or a feeling of relief, or a feeling of pleasure, or a feeling of some kind of appreciation. This is good. I think there's a kind of, sometimes if we relax well, it kind of is an energy release. If a lot of tension, energy or effort or muscle or, you know, a lot of the energy goes into the tension. It can be exhausting to be tense all day. And the energy kind of gets bottled up or gets applied to things which are not so good for you to be tense all the time. So when the tension releases, that means that the energy, the sucrose flow going around in the body, in the bloodstream or something, it's available for other things. It's not bottled up, or it's not concentrated, or it's not being used in a way that's tiring and exhausting. So there's a lightening, there's an opening, there's a freeing. Things start to feel like they're flowing more. And so relaxing, releasing, quieting, calming things down is not just it's not a dampening of the energy, you know, so you kind of get, I mean, it can be, so you fall asleep, but it's also a freeing of the energy. It's also a letting it flow more freely. It might not be as intense. If you want to get a lot of good intense energy, kind of like feelings going in your body, get really angry. If you're furious, even better. It's very hard to be sleepy if you're furious. And some people like that energy. They feel alive with it. I suspect some people like being angry because they like the energy, the aliveness. So as we let go, we might not have that kind of energized, strong energy going with us. So we might think we're somehow not quite there the way we should be. But with time, I think we discover that it's a much more healthier energy that's flowing through us or available. And it's an energy which is not so tiring and exhausting. And it's a release, this release of energy, release of lightening up of energy, is part of the source, one source of gladness, of joy, well-being. And to give yourself over to the practice more and more, I believe that all these begin coming together, even if you don't exactly think about it or focus on it or try to make it come together. There's all these different sources for well-being that exist here. Your faith in the practice. The refuge you have here with Sangha and Buddha and Dharma. The non-contention, the degree to which it's here, the lack of stress and the simplicity of this life. The joy of doing something that's phenomenally meaningful, purposeful. I think it's one of the most meaningful things to do with human life is to come to the end of suffering. And then to wish that for others. And then there's the joy of the simple act of knowing. Maybe at one moment of knowing is not the kind of joy you can write home about. But maybe, just maybe, as you start feeling more tranquil or peaceful in the knowing, more stable in the knowing, more a sense of kind of opening to potential possibilities through the knowing, that maybe just the simple act of knowing, they'll have some kind of pleasure, some kind of delight or gladness, some feeling of contentment, just this, some feeling of inspiration. Yeah, this is good. And all that might not be so conscious in the way I just described it, you know, that you're thinking it out this way. It's just kind of like there. And you're making, as you kind of there and practicing, you kind of make room for it, maybe. Or it's automatic that you make room for it because the knowing is not limiting anything, it's unlimiting things. Is that an allowable verb in English? Unlimiting things? So, then the pleasure of feeling, and the joy, the delight of just being able to feel and be present. One of the very weird things about this practice for me was when I discovered that I could have intense pain in my body and joy at the same time. I thought it was one or the other. But the joy was the joy of the practice, the joy of the knowing, of the concentration, of the really being present, and it got to be very strong, the joy. And it kind of was, for a while, was a match to the intensity of my pain, which was quite strong too. It's kind of an interesting, right? So that makes it easier to feel the pain. If pain, emotional pain, psychological pain, physical pain is the only thing we're experiencing, that can be hard. But we're learning through this practice that there's more happening. We're bringing more to the table than just the difficulties. We're bringing the practice. We're bringing knowing, feeling, relaxing, opening, stabilizing. It So it's kind of remarkable that we turn to create this support, this foundation, this possibility of increased capacity, increased ability to be equanimous with whatever is happening. And the only way that this works is to practice. And the funny thing is that if you tell yourself, this doesn't work, if you're, it kind of doesn't. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. But if you give yourself over fully to say, oh, this is the thought that doesn't work, then it's working. Because then you're mindful of it, you know it. As opposed to believing a thought, you step back and see it clearly. And imagine, some of you occasionally, by accident maybe, have some odd thoughts that you believe. Imagine stepping back, just looking at, tipping your head and looking at it and say, oh, that's an odd thought. And let it be that simple. And right there, there's the freedom, little freedom. Right there, there's non-contention. Right there, there's some space, openness. Right there is where the practice keeps unfolding. And then do it again, and again, and again, to whatever is coming along. So, to just give you another little example of me practicing here, I hope it's helpful, interesting. So I'm sitting in my meditation posture and I kind of settle into it, relax. It kind of feels like it's vibrating with kind of a warm, contented pleasure. Kind of a very delightful feeling to be in this body right now. And then I was having these thoughts. Did I explain myself well? Could I have said it better? Did I forget to say something? So that's like a rabbit hole to go down those thoughts, right? But they're kind of like floating on top of the sea of warmth and flowing contentment and just kind of vibrating, kind of feeling good feelings in my body. So it's a lot easier in that, having those together that way, to, you know, just let those other thoughts go by, just not be too concerned about them. There was probably some point in my life where I would have gotten locked onto those thoughts. But because of this, how I'm sitting here and content in my body, it's just those thoughts don't have much grabbing power. I think it's nice. Makes me happy.